Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. It's another episode of Glamour's podcast, Hey, It's Okay, where we talk about all the really serious and really quite stupid stuff that we do in the office. Let's go. We've got a cracking guest for you today. We're very, very excited to be talking to her. First of all, I'm going to introduce myself. Hello, I am Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine, hosting this Glamour Hey It's Okay podcast with my very able assistant, the associate editor, James Williams.
Hello, I do try. Thank you.
Yeah, well, he's multitasking today, which we don't see often from, you know, the male quarter. That's so sexist, isn't it? I can't help it.
But yet, sadly, yeah. So true.
Yeah. But before she, I know she loves a chat. We've got the wonderful Caroline Flack here today in our cupboard. Thank you so much for being here, Caroline.
That's right. Hi, guys.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah, it is a cupboard. I'm really sorry.
I love it. It's good. It's quite spacious, actually. It's just got a lot of stuff in it.
Well, nothing falls on us. It's always good.
It looks like it used to be someone's office, though. There's a phone.
Oh, I think they're still in here. I think they just died and nobody noticed. Yeah.
A lovely airless, windowless office. Yeah. It's like, you know, you've lost the lottery. You come and work in this room.
So, how are you, Caroline?
I'm really good.
You look really way good. Too tanned to be standing next to me.
I've had quite a summer. I've been on 4 different holidays this summer, which sounds quite luxurious.
You can leave now.
Hashtag pray for Caroline.
But my family, I holiday surfed. So instead of going on one holiday on my own, I crashed other people's holidays and kind of joined 4 different holidays with my family, which works out a really good idea, actually.
Yeah, I've been sort of like trying to, not very successfully, cultivate some rich friends.
they really come in handy.
Hang out at everybody else's expensive Ibiza villa. One of your friends I saw was doing that.
The thing about holidays, you just forget how bloody expensive they are. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm kind of like prepared to spend money on most things in my life, but it always surprises me how much holidays actually cost. So yeah. I'm all about crashing the holidays and, you know, keeping the costs down.
Also, when you're on holiday, holiday money is like play money, isn't it?
Monopoly. Yeah,
yes, yeah. It is.
True.
You're still talking to everybody that you were on holiday with. That's the other test, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
I fell out with my sister. Did you? I've got a twin, so we fall out. It doesn't really matter because we always make up a wee later.
Whose fault was it?
Hers, obviously.
Hers. It's always her fault. No, we fall out about 5 times a year, so it was fine.
When I was a younger girl and I was backpacking with my friends, we used to have like absolutely dreadful fights about things like shampoo and, you know, who'd worn who's top and all that sort of thing.
But it is brilliant. Yeah. It's the ultimate test, I think. You can live with somebody if you can go on holiday with them.
Oh, it's a big relationship test as well. Holidays.
Relationship or flatmate test. Never move in with somebody until you've actually spent like a week on holiday with them. Yeah. So I think you get all their weird sort of idiosyncrasies. That's the right word. You just find all their foibles, their quirks.
Yeah, I don't think you should live with friends, full stop.
Oh, really?
No. Just keep acquaintances, people you kind of know, friends, keep hedge between, keeps the friendship green.
There you go. We're learning and growing.
We're getting deep already.
Today. So tell me, what are you up to at the moment?
I'm working on a new project.
Are you going to tell us about it?
I can't say specifically what it is, but I've been working towards this for a very long time. It involves maybe some more dancing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, see, now we're intrigued. Yeah. Now you've whet our appetite.
And I'm excited because I am the biggest Strictly nerd ever.
Are you?
and you were just awesome.
And you're the Strictly queen.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I think Strictly led on to this being perhaps my new job. So yeah, I've been working on it for a long time. But I've got a long time still. I've got to workshop the job for a while and then it will be next year.
Oh. Is there a roller derby involved?
No.
It's just an idea. Yeah. I want to bring back roller derby. We did a feature on it a little while ago. And
are you talking Starlight Express?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I auditioned for that when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I say kid, 17. And I actually got offered the part, but it was in Germany, so I never took it.
What happens at a Starlight? Is it literally just can you roller skate? Or
you had to sit. It was a singing audition. And I got offered the part of Pearl, who's quite a big part in Starlight Express. And I never got to the skating stage because I said I didn't want to take it any further because I didn't want to move to Germany.
Any regrets?
Maybe, yeah. Mm. But apparently all people who go to Starlight Express end up with a lot of injuries.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because we were saying this last night. We went to the theatre and you know, people sort of say, oh, it's such a big deal. You know, people who can sing and dance at the same time. I'm going, go to any musical in the West End. Everyone does it all the time. Yeah. I'm talking about pop stars who often say they have to mime because they can't dance. But I mean, the idea of roller skating and singing.
At the same time, yeah. It's hardcore. Imagine your calves.
Yeah.
They'd be great.
Yeah, well, I mean, yours are good enough anyway. So, can you really tell us nothing about it?
It's really, really, really good.
You're not getting out of this cupboard until you tell us more.
What if I get your publicist Alex to leave the room?
I've still got like something in me. You know when something's so good, I don't even forget this, but you know when something's coming up and it's so exciting, you think, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because something's going to happen where it's not going to happen.
I'm a bit like that. And people say it's defeatist, and I don't think it's defeatist. I'm frightened of jinxing things.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So I'm not like a negative person. I don't want to hedge my bets on it, you know?
Yeah, so it's good.
And so if this secret super project that has been all your life has been working towards to this point in time, when is it actually going to happen?
March time.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to come back when you can talk to us about
it. Yeah. Quite soon, probs. Yeah.
You're almost working in like magazine years there, Karen, because we're literally now planning like March issues.
Should we plan the March cover?
Yeah, that's fine. It's a done deal. Yep.
Great. Yeah.
She doesn't miss a trick.
She does not. She's always gigging. I love it.
I tell you what, we'll see how you go in this sort of like virtual glamour features meeting we'll decide.
Great.
Okay, so here we are to talk about Hey, It's Okay. Is it okay? That's the question we ask ourselves in features meetings all the time. James, are you okay?
I'm always okay.
You all right now, Caroline?
It's not too hot in here yet. We haven't got heated enough.
Well, we're going to have a very heated debate now.
Let's heat things up. Yes.
So what I wanted to talk about, actually, James, I'm going to cede the floor to you because I know this is a real bugbear of yours that we've been talking about at work. This sort of like the overt displays in relationships now.
Yeah, so I think the hey, it's okay, just have a good old-fashioned down on one knee marriage proposal. I just feel like the benchmark now through things like Facebook has just been set so high. Like, I mean, maybe I'm just a bitter, sad old singleton, but to be honest, I look
Why
at these.
Why are you raising your hand?
But I just think I would never hope in hell of basically being able to live up to these proposals because, you know, now it just feels like you need flamingos, hot air balloons, a theme park, obviously a flash mob, totally choreographed, a backing entourage of all the nearest friends and family.
Well, you know, our social media editor, Kat, who's often on the podcast, she's also in a choir. And she excused herself at lunchtime the other day to go to Parliament Square in London to be part of a choir proposal for some guy who'd organised.
Thank God she said yes.
Oh, my Lord.
But yeah, she was summoned in her lunch hour to go and do it. So I just feel like I'm just a bit worried that we're getting so far away from what it actually means. And I kind of feel like, call me a soppy old sod, but I kind of think if it was the right person, there's no bad way for you to ask me to marry you. If I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you, there's no right or wrong way. And I say this because I actually had a friend who the person dumped him because they weren't happy with the proposal.
What?
I know. I mean, clearly there were other issues going on there. But my friend for ages was traumatised, thinking, I just proposed really badly. That's where it all went wrong. I went, no, it didn't really. There were other things going on, but you know.
Do you, Caroline, have a dream scenario? Are you going to sort of like set demands on
I actually think it's gone so far now and so extravagant that it's now almost bigger not to tell anyone. Because I heard some gossip yesterday that my friends got engaged, or like a distant friend, and they haven't put it on social networking. And that was like,
yeah, that's radical.
Romantic that they didn't put it on. So now that's become a bigger thing. But no, I've never been a sort of social media love displayer, really. I don't think I have anyway. I don't know, I haven't been in love for so long that I've forgotten what it feels like to want to tell everyone, look how happy I am.
I mean, I guess
Imagine how amazing it's going to be when you are.
I'm
kind of torn, because obviously when you know the people really well and you really care about them, it's a lovely thing. And actually, even those, the periphery friends that you know, the people who are really just your friends on Facebook, you don't really know them at all. I'm always happy for them, but I think I'm just slightly, because I'm worried about where the benchmark is going. And also, if that's the proposal, what are the kind of expectations going to be of the wedding?
The wedding and the honeymoon and the relationship and the arguing afterwards. But you know what I always think? I always get really, really tense when I see... I always think of it as more of an American thing, but when you see the couple and he's proposing on the big jumbotron at, say, the Super Bowl, and I'm always tense just thinking, well, maybe she's just said yes because how bloody awkward to say no at that point. And I, so I'm always questioning the realness of that relationship if you have to go to those lengths.
We always say it'd be quite fascinating to follow up how many people actually went through with a marriage. You know, those huge sort of level proposals, that sort of massive big budget proposals. It would be interesting to see how many of them really followed through with the vows.
I know a story about a guy who got dressed up as a cat because his girlfriend loved cats and waited at the airport for her with a sign saying, "Will you marry me?" And she looked at him and went, "Get in the car."
Yeah, I know. Well,
they got in the car. And
she likes
went,
cats.
I've met someone else.
I was going to say, not the response. No. Not the response you're looking for.
So she'd met someone before. She didn't go, "Jesus Christ, he's come as a cat."
No, she just went,
"I can't
get in the car."
But also, can we just picture being that guy? He's dressed as a giant cat. He's making a total tit of himself. He's putting himself out on a limb, and it was a no.
I mean, as awful as that is, how strong is your friend to do that? Because I think in public, I might have just gone, "Yes,
yes, and sure, then great."
Actually, a few weeks later, invented some big reason that they had to break up.
I think I'd be with her. I don't have a poker face. So even if I sort of went, yes, my face would be like saying, no, abort, abort.
Do you want to hear about my proposal?
Yes.
Well, we love hearing, because Joe had a very low-key wedding. So I don't think you've ever told us about the proposal.
Well, there's low-key. I mean, there's low-key and then there's my proposal, okay? Which is almost like flatlining, all right? It's like I was washing the dishes at my mother-in-law's house and she... innocently said, I think we'd been going out about 5 years at that point, and she said, "Do you think one day that you two will ever get married?" And I was a bit sort of like, felt a bit put on the spot and a bit, oh, I don't know. And my husband said something to her like, "I don't know," like being, or him being all awkward as well, which sent me into a massive foul mood with him. I was just so angry with that reaction. I was sort of like sitting there stewing, thinking, well, what have I been doing here for five years? You know, so I didn't speak to him for about 4 hours after that. And then we had to get on the train and I continued the sort of like the silent, you know, "you're dead to me" sort of treatment. And he just kind of went, "Well, look, of course I want to get married. Let's get married, all right?" And that was it.
No. And then he got a ring.
No. Can you see a ring?
Oh my God.
We were journalists. We didn't have any money.
But you see,
that's almost better.
But, well, and it proves my point.
Thank you for being polite about that. But, you know.
No, but it does totally prove my point. It's the right person. There's no bad way to ask that question.
I think he's the right person. Well, I'll let you know.
How long's it been now? Is he still.
16 years.
Is he still possibly just being road tested?
My sister met her partner at the time 10 years ago, and he drove me home for Christmas and they were going to Thailand, and he told me in the car on the way home that he was going to propose to my twin. Now, when you're a twin, you have this thing where you tell each other everything. So when I got back, she kept looking at me and I was like, she's like, "What? Why do you keep looking at me?" And I'm like, she's like, "What is it?" And I'm like, I can't keep it in. And she said, "What?" I went, "He's going to propose in Thailand."
Oh,
right,
Caroline.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Oh no! I mean, that's even worse.
I'm so sorry for your sister. But that's an excellent story.
I know. Sorry, Joe. Yeah, yeah. We're not together now.
I've had some friends like that where a few times you're just like, "This is going to be it. This is going to be the dinner. This is going to be the holiday." And every time, it's like, it's just so awkward. And now you just stop talking about it because you just feel like you can't put them through the mill. And they're still hanging on in there. And I'm like...
See, that's the thing. I worry that we're going to offend people who have had the wonderful, grandiose romantic proposals. But I don't know. I just feel really uneasy about it. I think, you know, I think I'm going to blame social media again. Love has just got too big. Reality television and all of that. Everyone's doing everything for everybody outside a relationship, not in the relationship. That's the final word.
On that.
On that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so I guess we may have answered this question. Sometimes it is all right to say no. If we're sort of, I wanted to talk about, when is it all right to say no? Obviously, when you don't love someone enough to marry them, say no to the proposal. But what about, I don't know about you, Caroline and James, but I am just, it's, you know, sort of like where, I've just come out of fashion weeks and it's, I don't know, there's just this feeling of either obligations to say yes to taking on too much, and then that horrible feeling of what if I say no to an event or something and then it's the best night ever for everybody. So I kind of like, when is it okay to say no to commitments?
Well, I don't know about you, Caroline, but I've really had to embrace the power of no, because I think I'm generally quite a people pleaser in the sense that, you know, I will always try to be there for your weddings, your birthdays, your bar mitzvahs, you know, anything. You know, I find it very hard to say no to things, and I don't think it's a FOMO thing. I think it's just a general thing of I kind of like my friends and I want to be there. But I do have other friends who have always said to me, you spread yourself far too thin, you've got, you know, a demanding job, you've got a lot of things connected to it, you need to do socially for work, you can't possibly do all these things. So I have in the last couple of years been trying to harness the power of no, and I have to say I am feeling a bit better for it. I think you know, sometimes you can't be there for everybody. And I think I also have friends on the flip side who say yes to everything and never come good on it. And you don't want to be that person. Yeah. So I think sometimes
I think I am that person. I overcommit and then freak out about what the hell I'm going to do.
Yep. Yeah, I've got a friend like that. And she constantly lets me down. But I love her dearly. But I know when she says yes, I know you're not coming.
Exactly.
I know you're not coming. Whereas this probably makes me sound like quite bad person, but I'm really good at saying no to things.
No, teach
and to the
me.
Point where sometimes I have to be convinced to say yes. More work stuff and having to go to things and events and stuff like that. I always go to birthdays and always make time for that. But I don't know what it is. I read that book, Yes Man. Did you read that? And I think I'm going to say yes to more things rather than say no to more things. Because when you say yes, it leads on to other things, doesn't it? And again, you never know what's going to happen if you go to that thing.
I think that's what spurs me on.
Yeah.
Because I have had amazing opportunities come out of doing things that perhaps I didn't really want to at the time. And I've met this person.
I think it's twofold. I think saying yes to things that push you out of your comfort zone, that's a good thing, I think. I think we're talking about two. And I think even in your career, sometimes taking that leap when you're not even sure about it can be the best thing ever.
Like, I literally don't know what I'm doing right now with this podcast, but we've said yes and we're taking the leap.
We're running with it, you know? Yeah. But I mean, I do also have the friends of mine that are notoriously bad at saying yes to things. It's almost like it's that slightly, people really want them to say yes, so they'll keep being invited. And when they get a yes from that person, it's like, literally, me being the person that's always there, it's like, oh yeah, you're always there. But when my friend that barely ever shows his face at anything comes in, it's literally they've won the lottery. They're so excited. It's like, you know, he's deigned to grace them with his presence.
But you know, I love you dearly as a friend and somebody I trust. If I trust and love you enough to say, I really want to come to that thing, but I know I'm going to be knackered. So I'm just going to say no now. And I love the people who understand that. I have a couple of friends who really don't understand that, so I end up lying to them.
Yeah.
And then they get upset anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, where do you feel? Because I always feel like the birthday, and one of my rules in life is, and I think because I do pretty much always show up, but if I ever, on somebody's birthday, I'm not going to turn up, I don't tell them beforehand. I text to apologise the next day. Ooh. Wait, roll with me on this one.
She's not happy.
I know, but the rationale here is, right, if it's, okay, Caroline, it's your birthday, you're getting a bit stressed out, you're organising a party, you're waiting waiting for everyone to turn up. And suddenly, in that last sort of 3 hours in the build-up, all you get is a load of messages from people going, sorry, couldn't get a sitter, or oh, stuck in traffic, or I've got to work tomorrow, can't make it. You just get that litany of, like, basically people bailing on you. And I just think that just makes your stress so much worse. So my theory is, wait until the next day, when they've had an amazing time, they've forgotten all about that, and all the people that didn't show up, they're still on a high from the party, and then you just send a text next day going, really sorry didn't make it, hope you had a brilliant night. And then they're like, yay.
Unless they'd spent their birthday party sitting in an empty room, sort of like, you know, tumbleweeds flowing through, blowing a stream at themselves.
Your place name matches in the wind.
Masking the sound of their tears.
If it's a sit-down dinner, I would always turn up for a sit-down dinner. You know, but no, if it's a party, come on.
No, I'm the complete opposite. I will always tell them before.
Really?
Otherwise, I'll spend the whole night just thinking they're wondering where I am. Mm. Or I'll get a text from them. Because you will. Where are you? Where are you?
If I'm going to cancel, I really try not to do it on the day of. Unless it's awful because I get, this is like, oh, here we go, world's smallest violin. I get migraines a lot. And it's like, it's that awful thing. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, God, maybe it'll go if I take some pills. Maybe it won't. Oh, God. And it's getting too late up to the time now. So that's really stressful for me.
I do always think that you have to remember as well, you're not, if you're going to a party, and I mean like a party where you know there's a lot of people, I'm not talking like a sit down dinner of six people, but you know, ultimately you are just one person. I think they will not really, well, of course, they'd miss all of us because we're just amazing people. But, you know, generally speaking, like, you know, they won't really, well, I'd like to think they're not sat there literally ticking off a list in their head.
Oh my God, that's me. So-and-so here, so-and-so here. Are they here? No one came. They didn't come. Oh, my God, they hate me.
Having said that, we totally do that. A Glamour Women of the Year award. We literally stand there going, who's literally, there's a guest list in your head going, who's not here? Who's not here?
Would you be angry if we didn't let you know before that, the awards?
Yeah, it's a sit-down dinner.
Sit-down dinner. That's the rule. That's the golden rule. If it's a sit-down dinner and a meal going to waste, you always have to give up notice.
Although, there's one person who shall remain nameless who texted me at 6:30 p.m. Bearing in mind the Glamour Women of the Year award starts about 7. Mm-hmm. Just got a text, not even any, hi Joe, I'm so sorry, just, I've got diarrhea. That was my text. It's like, that was the most bold as brass cancellation.
But then you see, that ties into my friend has a theory that if you basically drop the diarrhea word, it basically just shuts down any conversation. Because basically, it's the ultimate sickie. Why were you off sick yesterday? I had diarrhea. Oh, he actually said, I had the shits. And, you know, no one basically wants to talk about it, dwell on it. They want to move on.
So and I know that person will listen. And I know you know who you are. And thanks for that mental image that I'm never, ever going to erase.
Because that lasered from your mind.
It is not Dawn.
Okay, good.
I think Dawn, I'm sure that Dawn doesn't do things like that. Yeah.
No, Dawn O'Porter, obviously, for those who don't know, the lovely Dawn O'Porter, our columnist. No, she'd never do that.
She's diarrhea free, as far as I know.
Today, as far as we know.
I just want to say it was not Dawn.
For the record.
Right, guys, I know I want to talk about one of our favourite subjects, money.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Remember money? Yeah. Yes, journalists don't.
No.
TV presenters probably a little bit more. But I wanted to talk about, it's something we talk about in the office all the time because we do a lot of careers features and a lot of advice on getting ahead in careers. And a lot of people that we speak to, and you know, I think the intentions are very noble. They're always talking about find your passion, find the thing that makes you want to get up in the morning. But I kind of feel like it's, my theory is I think a lot of more female-oriented finding your passion jobs are also the ones that pay absolutely bugger all. And I just feel like I was thinking about this a lot when, you know, a few weeks ago when Mel and Sue sort of like shock horror quit Bake Off because it's going to Channel 4. And they actually said in their statement, you know, we love the BBC, we're not following the dough. And that was seen as like, yeah, well done you, good for you. And I kind of felt like, yeah, that's completely their decision and I respect that. But I would have also respected if they'd gone, ka-ching, we're off to Channel 4, we're going to get like 3 times
make it rain. Yeah.
But I get the feeling that the public would have been very upset about that. And I just think, if you've got the chance to, why is there a weird shame in making money?
I think the problem comes though, it is the ultimate taboo, I think, talking about money. I mean, you know, there's the classic episode of Friends, isn't there, where they're all earning different amounts of money. Yeah, and I do think, you know, even it's, you know, in this modern age where, you know, post Sex and the City, girls and guys will now talk about their sex lives quite openly. But I bet you, if you ask that gang of friends how much they earn, it would be like, oh, I'm not going to say that. And suddenly they clam up. I do think it's the final remaining taboo we have. I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable talking about salary and money generally.
Sure, but what I mean is, like, I don't think there should be a shame in. I had a coffee with a friend yesterday, and she said to me, the thing is, I mean, I got into this because I really like how much money I can earn. And that's such a bold, almost socially unacceptable thing to say. And I don't think it should be. I always think Alan Sugar, nobody ever said to Alan Sugar,
ever,
go for your passion, Alan. If you want to bake cakes, because that's what gets you up in the morning. Alan Sugar, from about 11 years old, I suspect, probably thought, right, how can I make the most money? And if you're a guy, I think that's more acceptable.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I take jobs for money all the time. Different jobs, you get paid different amounts of money in everything I do. I also take jobs because they're good jobs to take, and I love doing it. I'm definitely one of the people who don't talk about money, especially with my friends. We never do it. It never comes up unless we're going all going on holiday together and we have to pay the same amount or someone has to pay this. But job-wise, there is no shame in doing a job for money. And actually, I took a job over another job last year because it was better paid. And I would say that, definitely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in your profession, it's quite, you know, I mean, you're very, very successful. But I think I know a lot of people who do your sorts of jobs. And you don't really know, do you, what you'll be doing in 5 years' time.
Ever.
So you may as well say yes to the things that you can when you can. Do you know what I mean? Is that fair?
Yeah, you've got to keep yourself, you know, you've got to know where you're going. You've got to know how much. I always know how much money I've got. I always know next year I'm going to take a job that's completely different for other reasons. But I know I've already got this amount of money there. Absolutely no shame in talking about money.
But why
and,
do you think
why you take a job?
Why do you think we're suspicious of people who... that's their motivation? Is it just gross? I don't know.
I mean, I think there are some people who are quite old-fashioned, you think, talking about money, or people who like money and admit to liking money. And quite frankly, I think anyone that says they don't like money or that they don't think it's important is either slightly naive or lying.
Or really rich.
secretly very rich.
It's really rich people who don't think money's important.
Try not having it, people. Then it's really important. I mean, I don't know where it comes from, but I just think, you know, there is also a balance to be struck. And I think you almost touched upon it a little bit there, Caroline. And I think this happens a lot, I think, in the creative industry and with actors especially. You know, you'll do the money jobs, like the blockbuster film, and then you'll go and do the art house movie, which might be a lot more rewarding. And I think you can apply that logic to a lot of things. Like, you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that, you know, I didn't get into journalism and, you know, for the money. You know, you got into it for the fact that it was...
Good job.
Yeah, you know, well, but at the same time, there are people who work in the city and they have no life. They have no, you know, basically quality of life, I would argue, because the hours are so, you know, draining and relentless. But, you know, they're paid a shed load of cash and they have the burnout, don't they? They do it for 5 years and then they leave and then they retire on the cash they've made.
Yeah.
I personally would rather have a nicer lifestyle and a smaller paycheck, personally.
I totally agree with you, and I don't think that there's... you know, I think it's great to, I don't think money's the be all and end all. I certainly don't think that it is the key to happiness. But for some people, if it is, I kind of, I'm fine with that.
You shouldn't judge anyone based on.
Not at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's perfectly fine one way or the other. Whatever works for you, works for you.
I'd just like to also confirm that Caroline is not doing today's podcast for the money.
Oh, this is where it gets slightly awkward.
Yeah, you can take anything you want
from
the
this office
cupboard because that's their problem.
If it's not nailed down flat, you can have it.
There's something over there that
for your face
is about to fall on Alex, the publicist. We're not here for the cash.
But I need some headphones.
There's a light bulb.
I love light bulbs.
We're now just going to do a trolley dash
like
around
some
the cupboard.
Sort of weird juicer.
Are these all the things you get sent to the mag, or this is someone else's mag?
Stuff that wired.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Fine. They wired. Get great stuff.
They do. They road test all of this stuff. So, yeah.
I can give you a lipstick. Right. Would that be all right?
That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
I love a freebie.
So, yeah. I don't know what else to talk about.
Well, essentially, money is important, but, you know.
Money's important, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
It's not.
To some people, it's everything. To some people, it's nothing. It depends where
they
have
it. But if you want to be my friend and work for the money and get really rich and then invite me to your Italian villa, that's absolutely fine.
Just anonymous envelopes stashed with cash. That would be quite good. Just drop them off at reception. We'll happily take those.
Yeah.
That actually happened to my friend.
Really?
A big suitcase of cash.
Was that Dawn?
Is she in the mafia?
It was not Dawn. No, it was a friend who wanted an interview with one of their friends, and they would have done anything to have met him. So they sent him, a lot of money in a suitcase in cash.
Did it work?
I just want to meet him. I shall not reveal.
Oh, man.
But can you imagine?
But the paid meet and greets, that's a thing now, yeah. isn't it? Loads of celebrities do it now, especially on the tour.
How much do you
tour.
Get paid for people to meet and greet
I've
you?
Never done a, have I ever done
oh
meet
God.
And greet?
Oh, my God. Do we owe you, Caroline?
Yeah, you do, actually. I wouldn't know how much to charge. I went to a Mariah Carey gig this year at the O2, and I think it was 500 quid. You could go up to her and talk to her and touch her.
That's pretty cheap,
isn't well, it?
I think Bieber's about $2,000.
But and you Ooh, can't touch yeah. him.
You can't yeah. touch
no,
him.
No, you can't touch him. I mean, wasn't, at one point he was sending in like a giant cardboard cutout of himself. I don't think he even turned up.
I'm not sure you get refunds either if he just decides he doesn't fancy it.
What do you get then if you $2,000?
A room that Justin Bieber may have almost walked into.
We found his pants once in his dressing room at X
oh,
Factor.
Oh my God. Yes. Did you eBay those?
He was
those?
In the he was in Simon Cowell's dressing room that Simon has now, the one with the bath in it.
Hang on a minute. This is sounding like a very, very unseemly tale. Of...
And yeah. me and Ollie were doing X Factor, so we shared a dressing room down the other end. And Justin had been down there and we all went into the dressing room afterwards and he'd left his pants.
But what happened?
I think Ollie's still got kind? Them.
He sat on a
Calvin
fortune.
Klein's. Calvin
Some
Klein's.
Crazy mm-hmm. people would pay God knows how much money. But back on money again for those underpants.
For those underpants.
Clean. That could be Ollie's retirement plan. Not that he needs one because the singing thing's going quite well. But if he ever does fall on hard times, Bieber's pants
Bieber's
could be
pants
the answer.
Are still there somewhere.
Clean, slightly soiled. What
I mean,
sort
I didn't
of
look.
Are we talking?
I think some of us looked. I say us. I didn't look. I didn't look.
You did look.
You totally looked.
They look pretty clean to me, to be fair.
Yes, she did look. Yeah.
She totally looked. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for being with us today,
That's right.
Thanks,
Caroline.
Thanks, Caroline.
It was really fun.
I hope you've survived the Hey, It's Okay comedy experience.
Thanks, guys.
And I cannot wait to hear more about this secret project. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to my other special guest, James Williams.
Thank you very much.
I am Joe Elvin. This has been Glamour Hey, It's Okay.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.